Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Pure Invention, How Japan and Its Pop Culture Remade Global Everyday Life is a Non-Fiction Cultural History by Matt Ault, a Japan-based writer, translator, and localization specialist. The book examines how Japanese toys, media, gadgets, characters, and digital habits move from local products into global culture after World War II. Rather than treating pop culture as a decorative side story, Ault places it beside industrial recovery, consumer technology, youth culture, and international soft power. His central concern is how objects such as tin toy cars, the Sony Walkman, karaoke systems, anime, Hello Kitty, Nintendo games, Pokemon, emoji, and online image boards changed what people around the world bought, watched, played, collected, and imagined. The book is written for general readers, but it draws on historical context, industry knowledge, and biographical sketches of creators and entrepreneurs. Its purpose is to explain why Japanese popular culture became a global language of desire, identity, and technological possibility. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, fantasy delivery devices as the engine of Japanese soft power. A central idea in Pure Invention is that Japanese pop culture spread through objects and experiences that delivered fantasy in compact, repeatable forms. Ault uses the idea of fantasy delivery devices to describe products that did more than entertain. A toy car, a portable music player, a karaoke machine, a video game console, or a cute character could create a private imaginative space for the user. This framing matters because it shifts attention away from official diplomacy and toward ordinary consumption. People did not need to study Japanese history or politics to encounter Japan. They could meet it through a Nintendo cartridge, an anime broadcast, a Sanrio product, or an emoji keyboard. The influence was therefore intimate rather than institutional. It entered bedrooms, school bags, arcades, commuter trains, and mobile phones. Ault suggests that this form of soft power was especially effective because it did not require people to adopt Japanese culture wholesale. Instead, users adapted Japanese products to their own lives. The book treats this adaptability as a key reason Japanese pop culture became global. It succeeded by creating portable dreams that could survive translation, distribution changes, and different national contexts. Secondly, post-war toy making as a bridge from defeat to export creativity. The book begins its historical arc in the aftermath of World War II, when Japan faced material scarcity, occupation, and the need to rebuild industrial credibility. Ault gives special attention to toy manufacturing, including the production of metal toy vehicles inspired by American military jeeps. This example is important because it shows how Japanese makers turned the conditions of defeat into a new export opportunity. The toy was not only a miniature version of foreign power, it was also evidence of precision, adaptability, and commercial imagination at a time when Japan needed to re-enter global markets. By focusing on toys, Ault avoids a purely macroeconomic account of recovery. He shows that small consumer goods carried symbolic weight. They helped rebuild trust in Japanese manufacturing and introduced foreign children to Japanese-made objects long before anime and video games became global phenomena. The reasoning is concrete export toys required technical skill, sensitivity to overseas tastes, and the ability to transform difficult historical circumstances into desirable products. This post-war foundation helps explain later developments. Japan would repeatedly convert constraints, imitation, and foreign influence into new forms of design that felt distinctively Japanese while remaining accessible abroad. Thirdly, Walkman and karaoke reshaped entertainment around personal participation. Pure Invention treats the Sony Walkman and karaoke as more than successful consumer inventions. They changed the social organization of entertainment. The Walkman made music portable, private, and mobile. It allowed listeners to build a personal soundtrack while moving through public space, altering the relationship between technology, mood, and daily routine. Karaoke moved in a different direction. Instead of making listening private, it made performance accessible to ordinary people. It lowered the barrier between audience and performer and turned popular music into a participatory social ritual. Together, these examples show Ault at his strongest. He explains how Japanese products transformed habits rather than merely adding new gadgets to the marketplace. The Walkman anticipated later forms of personalized media consumption, including portable digital music and smartphone listening. Karaoke anticipated a culture in which amateurs perform, share, and remix popular media as part of social identity. The point is not that Japan invented every later form of media behavior. Rather, the book argues that Japanese firms and cultural practices helped normalize new relationships between consumers and entertainment. People became curators, performers, and active users, not only spectators. Fourthly, kawaii, anime, and games turn niche youth tastes into global vocabularies. Alt devotes substantial attention to the rise of characters, anime, manga-influenced aesthetics, and video games as global cultural forces. Hello Kitty, Studio Ghibli, Nintendo, Pokemon, Gundam, and related phenomena illustrate how Japanese popular culture often traveled through emotionally charged symbols rather than conventional realism. Kawaii culture, in particular, showed that cuteness could function as a design system, a commercial strategy, and a mode of self-expression. Anime and games offered another route. They built worlds with distinctive visual conventions, serialized storytelling, collectible logic, and participatory fandom. The book connects these developments to economic and generational shifts, including the post-bubble period. When Japan faced stagnation, but its media exports continued to gain strength, this creates one of the main paradoxes of the book. Economic weakness did not necessarily prevent cultural influence. In some cases, it intensified investment in escapist, nostalgic, or fan-driven forms. Alt presents youth culture and otaku culture not as marginal curiosities, but as engines of global taste formation. The reasoning is that these forms were modular and expandable. Characters could become games, merchandise, television episodes, films, costumes, and online communities, allowing Japanese pop culture to circulate across many markets at once. Lastly, emoji and image boards reveal both reach and limits of cultural influence. The later sections of Pure Invention extend the argument into digital culture, including emoji and anonymous image boards. Emoji are a strong example of Japanese design entering global communication so deeply that many users no longer think of them as Japanese. They show how a local solution for mobile messaging could become part of everyday expression across languages. The discussion of Japanese image boards and their influence on sites such as 4chan is more complicated. It demonstrates the ambition of Alt, and also the limits of attributing broad social change to cultural transmission. Anonymous posting cultures, internet subcultures, and later political extremities cannot be explained by Japanese influence alone. They also reflect technological design, American libertarian traditions, online anonymity, and wider social conditions. This tension is valuable because it shows that the book is not simply a catalog of exported products. It raises a methodological question: when does influence become causation, and when is it only one ingredient in a larger mix? The title suggests conquest, but the evidence often points to something subtler. Japanese pop culture did not replace local cultures. It gave them tools, symbols, interfaces, and fantasies that users transformed in unpredictable ways. In conclusion, Pure Invention is best suited to readers interested in Japanese culture, media history, design, technology, and the global circulation of popular entertainment. It will be especially useful for people who grew up with anime, Nintendo, Pokemon, Hello Kitty, karaoke, or portable music, and want to understand the historical forces behind familiar objects. The practical benefit is a sharper awareness of how consumer goods shape behavior. The book shows that toys, characters, gadgets, and interfaces are not trivial when they alter how people play, communicate, perform, and imagine themselves. Intellectually, it helps readers connect post-war industrial recovery, soft power, youth culture, and digital life without requiring specialist knowledge. What makes the book stand out from many books on Japan is its choice of evidence. Instead of focusing mainly on samurai history, corporate management, geopolitics, or traditional arts, Alt follows everyday cultural artifacts across borders. Compared with narrower fan histories of anime or video games, it offers a broader chronological and economic frame. Compared with academic studies of soft power, it is more accessible and object-centered. Its main limitation is that the claim of global conquest can feel broader than the evidence. Even so, the book remains distinctive because it explains Japanese influence through the things people actually used, loved, collected, and carried with them. If you would like to support Matt Alt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.